But this success doesn't mean that the same headway has been made in balancing order and chaos. How one translates into the other is often inexplicable. Even the most precise predictions have their flaws. Imagine a mechanic's garage where they can measure the tread on your tires and predict within half a mile when a tire will blow out. That would be impressive, but the prediction has nothing to say about what road you will be on when the tire blows out, why you chose the road, and what your destination is. If the mechanic shrugs his shoulders and says, "Those things don't matter to me. They're out of my hands," you'd agree. But the road that molecules, atoms, and subatomic particles take, and the destination they are headed for, can't be dismissed. In your bloodstream, whether a molecule of cholesterol winds up clogging a coronary artery or passing harmlessly out of the body, can be a matter of life and death. Because of their physicalist beliefs, many scientists keep averaging out difficult problems as if that's the best or only way to handle randomness. A striking example is evolution. Looking at an elephant, you can see that its snake-like trunk and sail-like ears are unique. The elephant evolved to have them, and according to Darwinian theory, having just this kind of trunk and that kind of ears enabled the first elephants to survive better. New adaptations begin at the genetic level with a mutation that hasn't been seen before. Mutations occur at random, so standard evolution says, and they must be passed on to later generations in order to become permanent. If a single pink elephant appeared millions of years ago, we'll never know, because that genetic mutation failed to be passed on. How did the first elephant with the long trunk gain its survival advantage? Impossible to say. It's not even clear that one elephant did gain an advantage, but the whole species eventually did. Without knowing anything that happened to the individual elephant, a kind of averaging out is done by looking at all elephants. In other words, evolutionary thinkers are treating creatures with very complex lives as if they were a collection of gas molecules. On the face of it, this seems like fudging. Animal existence is filled with sudden necessities, like drought or a disease epidemic, unique events, unknown challenges, and so on. Every step of the way, each lion, chimpanzee, or otter makes choices. Erasing these complexities from the equation in order to get a good group approximation can't be telling us the whole story. Perhaps not even the right story. For example, survival of the fittest, a phrase Darwin never used, by the way, can supposedly be reduced to two components: success at getting enough food to eat, and the ability to beat out rivals for mating rights. On that basis, gene mutations get passed on. But this picture of constant competition overlooks the fact that in nature, cooperation is just as common as competition. Birds flock together, fish swim in schools, and there are myriad other observable populations that live together for safety and shared resources, sometimes seeming to act almost as a single organism. In many marine species, all the males and females gather in one place to scatter clouds of eggs and sperm into the water, acting as one giant mating party with no one excluded. Darwinian evolution has been modified by some theorists to include cooperation, but finding the balance between competitive and cooperative behavior has proved very tricky and controversial.